The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Welcome to Mind
and
Pump.
And now, everybody, let me introduce Sal DiStefano.
Hey.
He's the guy behind the Kermit voice.
Hey.
You got Adam Schaefer and all his wizardry coming at you 24/7 a day. Doug the Eagle Cacao in the background mixing it up. And Justin Andrews talking all crazy over here.
Only Justin can do that shit in one take.
Absolutely.
That was perfect.
Okay. I tried.
I still want to change mine, though. I think you should say something else besides Kermit voice, because that's getting old in my fucking head. It's getting old.
No, you're right.
I'm going to put my foot down right now.
It's a new year.
I'm not Kermit.
Okay, it's
fucking
a new year.
Stop.
We need to hook
with that
you up.
Shit.
Yeah.
it's a new year. We get it. New nicknames. Is that what we're going to do?
New
nicknames?
Yeah. Should we do this? I think we should throw that one out to our pump heads.
You can call me Big Swinging Dick. Our you can call me
you want,
Big Swing.
Let's be honest. You
super
just want,
sexy man.
You just want a cooler. You just you're juggling. You gave me Wizard, which is cool.
You're just over it.
Kermit's not very cool. So
I don't know, dude. I think Kermit's pretty fucking cool.
Because I don't want to change Jay Swoles. I like Jay Swoles over here. I mean, that's
his character. That's he doesn't really have a nickname.
Oh, so there's got to be a character.
I kind of had to call myself the dude. Like, you guys never really gave me one.
Yeah,
so.
He is a dude. He's more dude than
dude,
we are.
Dude, I am total dude.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Surfy guy.
Because we're more like, I'd say me and Adam are more like, we're kind of girls. We're much more like girls.
definitely.
Speak for yourself.
You're such a, hold on a second, bro.
You watch teen parents.
If we had a girl
parents.
Off. Hold on a second.
If we had a girl off.
If we had a girl off competition, it'd be close, dude. It'd be a close competition.
It's a very tight race.
One, I'm not trying to win. I will tell you that, though.
You're not trying to win?
No, I'm not trying.
It's all natural. You don't have to try.
Once you guys go past the quad wars and you get into glute wars, I'm done. I'm going to hang up my mic.
Yeah, we'll interlock our glutes.
No.
That was weird.
Oh, God.
What?
Yeah, that was too far.
Dude, I was having this conversation. I don't know why this came up. This is coming in my head. But I was having a conversation the other night with my sister. And there was this debate that she was on online about people arguing about whether or not gay people choose to be gay or whether or not they're born gay.
This whole
debate, right?
This is an argument?
This was a debate. Like, she was just talking about it and how people were making arguments. And number one, it doesn't matter. But number two, I firmly believe people are born gay for this particular reason right here. If it was as easy as just choosing to be gay, a lot of fucking dudes.
Gay.
A lot of dudes would be gay. Ladies, I apologize. I love you. I can't help it. I was born loving you. But you're crazy.
What's better?
A lot of us would be gay. It'd be so easy. Think about it. Yeah. Think about how easy it would be if we could just do that.
Right.
We'd be playing video games, sports.
Find your
high five and bang.
Find your smartest, most successful, fun buddy friend. Like, dude, I wish I was attracted to him.
Buddy.
I'd be like, dude, do you wanna give me a blowjob? Like, yeah, sure, okay. What do you want to do now? I don't know. Let's go play video games. Sure.
Yeah.
Do you want a hug? Nah, I'm not in the mood. Nah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. This is great. Right. Hey, I like your belly. It's getting big. It's hot. You know what I mean? Easy.
Yeah.
It'd be easy, Doug. Easy.
I think that's the.
I'm looking at you, Doug.
That wins the argument.
I'm trying to change as much. Yeah. I just can't do it, though.
From spinner to flipper.
Right? I can't. Flipper.
He flips for everybody.
The flip. Yeah. No. Not true.
That's bad.
Not true at all. Anyway, I hope I didn't offend anybody. I'm just kidding. I don't care if I did.
Dude, I have not.
Pretty sure I did, though.
Have you guys been sleeping? I have not been. Ever since Doug showed us what's coming, I have not been able to sleep, man.
Really?
Oh, dude, I've been so. amped up about everything that it's
my, I agree.
You sure it's not the bath salts you started using at night?
Stupid, dude. Stupid. Can you still buy those at gas stations? You know, people were selling gas station stuff.
Bro, you could probably buy them online. Bath salts, to me, are a hilarious example of how, especially in the future, like, they're not going to be able to regulate shit. Like, scientists are just like, oh, that's illegal? I'm going to just fucking change it a little bit. And now it's bath salts.
Yeah.
Here, take this shit and trip out.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. That's why it's so funny that we try and regulate us, because people just get creative. And to be honest with you, that's where the danger is, people getting creative. We already know there's drugs out there that do certain things. There's no need to make more. You know what I'm saying? But the reason why there is to make more, because they make the other ones illegal. So people are like, all right, you're going to make that illegal. And I'm going to try smoking these bath salts and see what happens. Well, son of a bitch, it feels just like the meth. Yeah.
I snorted baking soda. Right. Mm. Yeah,
yeah. You're like, let's take meth and make it worse.
Yeah.
Here you go, kids. You know, a lot of kids have actually, there's been,
I'm bleeding.
There's been deaths related to, obviously, to bath salts, although it's overstated. It's not that big of a fucking, it's not an epidemic. There's been kids dying from overdosing on synthetic marijuana.
Oh, the fake stuff. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Forgot all about that. Yeah. That's a thing.
Yeah. Doug's making a face. You didn't know about that, Doug? Yeah. So what they're doing is they're taking these obscure, like, created synthetic cannabinoids that will affect the cannabinoid receptors like marijuana cannabinoids will, and give you the high. However, they're not safe at all. And so you can overdose on them and cause all kinds of problems. And this is because, of course, marijuana is illegal. So these kids will go buy this stuff. Or if you get a drug test, let's say you're, you know, a cop or something and you want to smoke some weed, but you can't, you'll go buy this synthetic shit, which is like 10 times worse for you.
Right.
It's pretty crazy.
No, it's silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Hey, if you, I know you're over at your little small gym all the time, and Justin, I don't know if you bounce right. Man, you guys should see what the big gyms look like. Have you been into Gold's lately since New Year?
I go to the one on Monterey. I haven't went to the Brunel one in a while.
You haven't?
Why? What happened?
No, it's January's here, dude.
Oh, I hate it. Fucking hate it.
Yeah, it's here. I mean, it's been a while since I have had to totally do a different exercise. You know, there's at Brunel, there's so many incline and flat benches and squat racks that it's like there's always normally one I can get
everybody turning sideways and pressing.
Dude, it's getting so out of control. That's getting so out of control right now. I saw this guy the other day that he's probably mid-20s or so, and his girlfriend, and he's teaching her, you know, and he's like, oh, you know, do this. And he's like, I'm like,
just gotta squeeze.
Squeeze it hard. This is so bad, right? I'm like, this could not be any more of a worthless movement for her, if possible. Mm. So help your girl out, dude. Don't teach her this. What do you do?
Honey, can I do the exercise you're doing? No. Those are exercises for guys. This one's for girls. This one's it's called a donkey kickback.
Yeah.
And you gotta do the tricep kickback. And let's have you, no, don't go do heavy, you know.
Yeah, then you do the stairwell. Oh, you gotta kick that leg back.
Guys, listen right now. If you're training your girlfriend and you like nice round butts, train them for strength.
Yes.
Okay? Because you'll benefit.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't train them like the old, like, you got to train a girl a certain way. Train them like a guy and you'll love it.
Hey, tell me what you think about the Joe D post that he just posted.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, you did.
Which one?
The hip thrust.
Oh, he's talking shit about hip thrust?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what to think about hip thrust. I don't put hip thrust in the same category as worthless exercises. I don't put it in the same category as like squats and deadlifts.
Yeah. I look at it as an accessory.
It's kind of an accessory. I do see it having some, you know, end of range of motion, you know, glute activating qualities. I think reverse hypers and good mornings and shit like that, single leg deadlifts are probably superior.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you have a trainer like Brett Contreras, who I knows his shit and I respect highly, he is all about, you know, hip thrusts and talking about how they're really good exercise. So I don't know.
I was just curious to what you, because I know Joe broke it down pretty well. Mm-hmm. why he thinks it's a worthless exercise. It's definitely not one that would replace anything. I actually utilize it as a pre-exhaust, especially with my female clients, because I feel like I can go over there and put a, you know, 80 pound bar on across their waist. They can kind of pre-exhaust, and then we go over and we do squats, and mm-hmm. oh man, their glutes are on fire, especially if I have somebody who is kind of quad dominant and already kind of feels a lot.
Well, so you're doing it from a correctional standpoint, and that's exactly how I've always used hip thrust. I've never used hip thrust as a main exercise. It's always, for me, it's always been corrective. If I see poor posterior chain activation, mm-hmm. then I'll have them do hip thrusts because it helps get them to fire those right. muscles.
I do the same thing as you, Adam, in that sequence, except with, you know, tube walking.
So, there you are, right?
Yeah, but, you know, it's the same concept, trying to get that glute fire. Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of that right now. I mean, that's why I thought I love seeing Joe call stuff like that out. I just think that a lot of trainers, a lot of people out there, and a lot of these fitness icons are, you know, they're posting all these crazy exercises, and it's hard because then you get someone like us who, if we come over and we kind of slam it, or like what Joe just did, he slammed it, then you get two sides, right? You get the one side, they're like, oh yeah, go Joe, yeah, fuck hip thrust, you're an idiot if you do them, you know, because Joe said it. Or then you get the other side of them that are like, oh, why are you being a hater? Because hip thrusts, I feel great in my hip butt. But really, at the end of the day, it's like, dude, why don't we talk and educate people on like why you would use that? Because there's almost every exercise that's out there, there is a purpose.
You hit the nail right on the head. There, you know, we joke around and we say certain exercises are worthless. Okay, this is what we mean. You're going to get something out of any movement. Okay. But there's definitely a ranking. There's definitely exercises that are way more effective and those that are less effective. And then at the bottom of the list are exercises that are very ineffective. Will you get something out of them? Yes. Should you spend your time focusing on the less effective exercises versus the more effective ones? No, it's just not a good use of your time. So it would be like if you had a test and you're studying and you're focusing all your time studying things that are not going to be on the test at all. Mm. I mean, you'll learn some things, but it's not going to really give you what you're looking for. So, you know, there's exercises that are really, really good that you should not take out of your movement. You shouldn't take out of your workouts, and you should focus on. Like, you shouldn't replace squats, barbell squats, with, you know, hip thrusts. Unless there's a correctional purpose, you just shouldn't.
Well, that's it. The correctional purpose. Like, so that's why I don't necessarily judge too heavily on these particular exercises, especially if I see a trainer working with their client doing these types of things where I know some people, oh, they should just be fucking squatting or deadlifting. But in reality, you know, there are all kinds of muscle imbalances and things that, you know, you have to consider. And you have to consider the fact that maybe somebody's coming back from like a back surgery or, you know, and we just have to reestablish this muscle recruitment firing process. And it cannot, like, loading the back might be a horrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's just a lot of factors there that it, you know, if you just say it, you know, from a surface level, it just, you end up looking like an idiot.
Absolutely. And of course, the way you perform each of those exercises also makes a difference.
Right.
So, so I wanted to get into a topic that we've covered a few times, but not in a whole episode. Like, we haven't really gone into depth on this, but we talk about it a lot. I think, especially in our industry in fitness, it is super overlooked. And right now, the science is showing that what we're about to talk about may just be not just a missing piece of the puzzle in terms of health, but it may be the missing piece. This may be the next evolution of medicine and health, to the point where all of these issues that we have, from chronic diseases to cancers, this may be the fucking key. This may be the holy grail. And what I want to talk about is the what's called the human microbiome, and we refer to the gut flora, which is a big, big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the microbiome is
everything, right?
It's everything. It's all of the bacteria that live on your body, the fungus that lives on your body, the things that make up,
and how diverse they are in the different environments of your body.
That's right. Yeah. And interesting, you know, we're watching this video earlier on the subject, and they put it in fantastic perspective. First and foremost, I'd like to say this. We like to think of ourselves as the rulers of Earth. Like, what's the most dominant species on Earth? You know, humans. Incorrect.
Yeah.
Bacteria and virus and fungi and all those little microbiomes.
Well, when you talk about a ratio, what's...
They rule the world.
We may be more powerful. We may be able to squash a bug or kill something like that. But as far as like...
We are no match. We are no match for those types of things.
Yeah.
They rule the world. And they've been here longer than us. And we need to realize that our evolution was right alongside with these types of things. And you have to understand the role that they play in human health. Is we understood it to be a player in some respects, but now we're starting to realize that it's actually the key player. It's
fully integrated.
It is fully integrated. You are more of your microbiome than you are human. If we took all your cells and added them up, there's 100 times more of these other things on you.
That fact alone tripped me out.
Isn't that the ratio 100 to 1?
100 to 1.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You are a walking microbiome. Yeah. That it also has happens to have some human cells stuck together. Literally. Yeah. That's literally what it is.
So are you in control of your own body?
Well, check this out.
Whoa.
So this came to me last night after I had a relatively potent strain of cannabis. I was thinking about this, and it made perfect sense to me. So think about it this way. The goal of any species or organism on Earth is to survive and to reproduce. That's the ultimate goal. That's humans' goal, you know, any animal goal, viruses, bacteria, anything that's alive. Viruses, there's an argument whether they're alive or not, but bacteria for sure. And think about it this way. We as humans are carrying these bacteria, these, you know, on outside of our body and inside of our body. It only makes sense that this bacteria will evolve to be able to control our bodies as much as possible, to protect their own longevity. It is in the best nature of the bacteria that lives on and in our body to keep us alive, mm-hmm. to keep us, to protect their turf.
Well, when you think about that, what happens when we drink too much alcohol or things like that and your body rejects it? I mean, where do you think that first stems from? What do you think is doing that?
It definitely getting influenced by this microbiome.
Right.
So its job... Literally, its goal, it's a symbiotic relationship. You guys ever see those National Geographic videos with those sharks that will swim, and then they've got these fish?
Yeah, and they have the cleaner fish that, you know, yeah, they eat all the parasites.
Yeah, and it's like inside its gills eating. Okay? Yeah. And you're like, why doesn't that shark just eat that fish?
Right.
Because it's a symbiotic relationship. The shark protects the fish and provides it with, you know, eating these parasites, and the fish cleans the shark from the parasites. Well, the microbiome of your body does the same thing. It's your first line of defense, but it also influences everything in your body. Think about it. If it makes sense evolutionarily speaking, it's probably happening. So let me position it this way. Would it make sense for your microbiome to control how you think, right? Mm. How you feel?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It totally makes sense, because if this bacteria can make you feel good, then you're a little more likely to hunt and search for food and be productive. You're more likely to survive, right? Does it make sense if you have a particular type of bacteria that's an overgrowth that shouldn't be there, but that it craves, let's say, sugar? Does it make sense that this microbiome would then, or this particular flora would then motivate your brain to crave sugar, right? To feed itself.
Yeah. Dude, I heard this study where they actually... they replaced like an active, like happy rat's gut biome with another rat, and they actually had a swap of personality.
This is crazy. So here's
when you think about it, when you position it like that, that makes a lot of sense, because think about when you feel great, when you feel healthy inside, your energy levels, your mood, everything's that way. And what happens when you feel like shit? You know what I'm saying? When you, from the inside, you start to reflect that way too. So it's,
ooh, I feel it in my gut.
Well, two things, more recent studies now are showing very, very strong connections. It's almost conclusive at this point that your flora, your especially your gut flora, your internal, you know, microbiome, control, it has a big piece in terms of your resting metabolic rate. So they'll take animals and they'll give them, you know, something to alter their gut flora, and they'll find the resting metabolic rate will lower. So they've slowed the metabolism. Again, it makes sense that the microbiome would want to control metabolism.
Right.
To either
to alter
conserve
their environment, even right, for the better.
Right. To either conserve energy or to burn and spend energy. And so for those of you listening right now who are like, oh, you know, I don't have any digestive problems, you know, I don't need to worry about my gut flora, it will affect how lean you get. It'll affect how much muscle you build. I'm going to say it's a fact, but it's not completely proven as a fact, but it will be. Give it about 5 years and the shit that's coming out is crazy. Your internal flora directly communicates with your brain. And we used to think that we couldn't figure out how this would possibly happen, because there's a, you know, the blood brain barrier, and how does it go directly to the brain? Well, we now know that the lymphatic system, this was actually one of the greatest, the biggest discoveries of 2015. The lymphatic system directly now connects to the brain. So this is a direct route for your gut flora to send chemicals and messages to your brain to influence your mood, how you feel, your cravings, everything. And they just did a study with a group of women where they altered their gut flora, did MRI, you know, what's called fMRI, functional, you know, MRI machines where they can watch the brain as it's thinking. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And by changing...
Where it's firing and everything.
Right. By changing the gut flora, fundamental changes in the way the brain was working.
That's insane.
Fucking insane.
Dude. That's crazy. What, now, in combination with hormones, like, what would you say, like... I mean, is it pretty equal, or would you say even more that they would lean more towards the bacteria's influence?
I would. I think this. Here's the thing. I think
I would say hormonally first, though.
Well, yes,
stronger,
but keep it. Yes, and there's a lot of things that can influence hormones, but don't think for a second that hormones are not one of the tools that your microbiome will use to change how you feel and how you move. Mm-hmm. These are all. It's all connected. Is my point.
Mechanisms that they respond and you know communicate.
Right.
Through.
Right. So if we're already showing that this microbiome influences neurotransmitters in brain, well, that is that'll work with hormones as well. And why wouldn't it go straight to you know affecting insulin production and all these different things? We know it affects resting metabolic rate.
Mm-hmm.
We know that it's showing that now. So this is not something to ignore, and it's not what it used to be where, you know, it used to be wellness people talking about it or only people with digestive issues
mm-hmm.
or only people with chronic issues. You know, people say, oh, I don't have any chronic health issues. You don't have to. You're just – you don't realize that you're not working optimally because you're not doing things to take care of this biome, this microbiome.
So along those lines then, like what are some measures to take care of this biome? Like what – you know, I've heard a lot about pre – and you know biotics and all that as far as like fermented foods and adding in good quality bacteria into the system.
Well, before you even get into that, you want to stop doing the things that are killing or distorting your flora.
Right.
Number one, antibiotics are the obvious one. Yeah. Right. So
it's like a nuclear bomb that goes off.
It kills everything. Yeah. And then what happens is, depending on your health and your food intake, it wipes out the playing field, and then it gives the opportunity for other types of bacteria to overpopulate and grow and change the flora, because your internal flora is like a fingerprint. Eventually, we'll get to the point we'll be able to test your flora and we'll know who the person is. It's very, very unique to each of us. A lot of it comes from our parents, you know, from everything from we talked about this off air, but you know, when you have a baby,
mm-hmm.
as the baby moves through the birth canal, it picks up the mother's, you know, flora. It does breastfeeding, you know, starts to feed them and change some of the flora. And then of course, as you grow up and the stuff you touch and stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm.
But there's all these different things that we're doing now to destroy it. One of them is antibiotics. So if you have a bacterial infection, take antibiotics. If you don't think you do or you don't take them. You know how many times people go to the doctor with, you know, like a sinus infection, for example? You know, 80% of the time, sinus infection is viral. Yeah. So you could take antibiotics all day long. It's not going to do anything. And it might be doing you harm in the long term.
Or never letting you get to like a fever where you're actually going to, you know, fight and attack.
Right.
You know, the symptoms.
It's this overuse of antibiotics. Here's the other one that's a big one that a lot of people don't realize. Antibacterial soaps. Antibacterial soaps are, first of all, they're an oxymoron because all soap kills bacteria. But what they do with the antibacterial soaps is they put an antibiotic in it that leaves a residue on your hands or whatever that supposedly kills bacteria for longer than just regular washing. However, that residue stays on your skin. You might absorb it. You might eat something, get a little bit of it. It doesn't do much, you know, one or two times, but you do this over the course of 10, 15 years. And now you're causing problems. Not to mention when you wash that off your hands, that antibacterial soap gets into the water supply and it doesn't get really filtered out very well. And so we're getting these low doses. I would venture to say that we're probably always consistently getting low doses of antibiotics now, but all through our food and through our water.
Hmm.
Because of some of the stuff.
Well, in animals, if you're eating meat, yeah, we'll have antibiotics.
Are you saying that going through a purified process, it's still you're still going to get that? I don't see how that's possible.
Reverse osmosis is probably your best bet.
Well, yeah, reverse osmosis, but no one's doing that, right?
I mean, right. That's probably your best bet. But I would say, number one, stop using antibacterial soap. Anything that says antibacterial on it, don't use it. Regular soap kills bacteria just fine, but it doesn't have antibiotics in it.
What about things like you know, artificial sweeteners?
100%.
You know, mm-hmm. things like that and processed foods, things that are GMO, you know, things that are not natural. I've always, to me, that was always like when we started creating things that weren't natural and consuming them as food, That was, to me, was like an obvious one right out the gates. Like, you know, your body wasn't made to even digest and utilize that. What makes you think that it's going to be good? And just because it maybe doesn't poison it that we can see, is it's probably doing something inside that can't be great. Right?
Well, you want to consider,
doesn't make sense,
right? And you want to consider this, like, you know, eventually I think science will get to the point where we can do all this stuff, but we have such a poor understanding of this new emerging science that we didn't test for it. So we come out with a product like artificial sweeteners or, you know, a genetically modified organism, and we test it for all the known parameters that we can test it for. Is it going to affect, you know, we'll test someone for a year. Is it going to affect liver function? No, it looks good. Kidney function? No, it looks good. You know, it looks good. It's not poisoning the person. Boom, it's safe, FDA approval. But they don't know. They didn't know to test for these other things. You know, like,
they don't know how to, really, right?
They didn't know how. It wasn't something that was on the radar.
And even now, we still don't even have, I mean, could we even test if your flora is being changed after?
We do know now that artificial sweeteners, for example, fundamentally affect and alter gut flora. We know this for a fact.
I know, but that's such a careful word to use. Fundamentally affect. I mean, what does that mean? It means it changes it. Do we have is the testing there to prove that it did something that was, because, okay, if I'm like Elaine Norton, which this would be a great person to talk to about this, right? Since he's an It's Fits Your Macros guy, right? Oh. And the biggest problem,
he thinks anything outside of that is dogmatic. You know, as far as like trying to come up with reasoning why a food is considered clean,
right?
Right. And so this is something that I've noticed, and then other people hop onto that because it fits within their thought process, right? And they don't want to consider the fact.
They can't, because it'll shatter their whole program.
It implodes the whole thing.
Yeah. Because that's the whole thing, is it? But and I know if I'm pretending to be him, I think his debate would be the living in a calorie surplus or deficit, right? So
right.
If I'm consuming artificial sweeteners or processed foods, but I'm making sure that I stay in a deficit, then I'm safe.
Yeah, but that's a straw man argument. That's not the debate. Like, we know, and we've said here a million times, that the most important big rock, you know, the big rocks in your program, the big things you should focus on first, calories, then macros, and then you start to go down the list. So if we're comparing someone who overeats and eats, you know, too much and doesn't exercise to someone who eats at a deficit and eats clean,
they're
in terms
starting
of macros,
to get healthier,
and,
right?
They're probably going to do better.
Yeah.
But that's not we're not arguing that. What we're arguing is that this is a factor that needs to be looked at as well. And when it comes to, you know, you asked the question earlier, is that a good or bad thing that the gut flora is fundamentally altered? We don't know, but I will say this. Anything that's altered from a natural symbiotic relationship that our bodies evolve. Remember, we're fighting evolution in the sense that this is a long process. Like, how long have humans been on Earth? How long have we been on Earth with this bacteria and stuff? It's gotten to the point now where it works really well together. Like, it evolved to the point where it's going to work good together. Yeah. So altering in any way is a crapshoot. I would bet my money all day long that we're not going to beat evolution because we don't know. We don't know how it's changing and what it's going to do. And it's probably not going to be as good as millions of years of evolution.
Here's an interesting thought. And I kind of mentioned that I had just listened to this TED Talks, and it was a technology-based TED Talks. And what the guy that was speaking, he was talking about what he was doing with cultures of bacteria and how he could actually program bacteria just like you could program a computer. And so what they've already shown is that basically, like, he was doing it through like bioluminescence, and then he would show these patterns that they would all light up, and it's this sequence. It's called quorum sensing. It's very you'll have to listen to it to get, you know, the details of that. But basically,
is that with a Q, spelled with a Q?
Yeah.
Okay.
Q. And it was just so cool because what he did in an experiment, I'm not sure if you know how far he is with this experiment, but they're taking probiotics and, you know, adding technology to it to basically, when you go pee, it'll change a different color if they identify a cancer cell.
Wow.
So there you go.
So it identifies a cancer cell, activates, mm-hmm. then there's your...
The probiotics that are in your body will be able to identify this.
I'm telling you right now, the last 100 years was a century of physics, of the breakthroughs in physics, and, you know, we discovered, you know, general relativity and all this, you know, amazing stuff. The next decades of, coming up are going to be the decades of biology. What we're learning right now is going to be...
I think it's...
In 10 years, you're going to go in, you're going to have chronic illness.
Well, it's a symbiotic, you know, relationship, technology and biology.
Oh, you're going to go into the doctor, you're going to have psoriasis, you're going to have rheumatoid arthritis, you're going to have Crohn's disease, you're going to have cancer, whatever, and they're going to test your microbiome, and we're going to, oh, perfect, here's what we need to add, here's what we take away, take this, do that, boom, we're going to modify our internal biome to target what we need to target, or to cure what we need to cure.
I so believe
getting
that.
Your body to work for you. That's on the horizon. That's going to happen.
And this really supports all those, you know, what Justin called them, the munchy hippie, crunchy hippie, crunchy hippie,
crunchy
people
hippie.
That have been kind of saying it forever. Now they just didn't have
smelly.
They just didn't have the science to back it. But they've known, like, you know, eating certain foods and doing certain things have, you know, changed the chemistry of their body. And we're, as we're starting to get further along in science, man, it's coming together to where the fact that we could manipulate it would just be a game changer.
Well, let's
talk about
you brought up artificial sweeteners, but then you also brought up GMOs, right?
Yeah.
So genetically modified organisms. Well, check this out. Again, they didn't test them in terms of how they affected the gut flora. But we now know that there may be DNA transfer from the actual food itself. So in other words, you might be able to eat GMO corn. That might alter gut flora in the sense that it's going to change how that flora behaves and what it turns into. So we could be creating some monsters. And number two, this one's the more obvious one that's become more obvious now, is that the glyphosates, which are the herbicides that they spray on GMOs. So they make GMOs to be able to withstand high doses of herbicides. That's what they're invented for. Mm-hmm. So you could grow this corn, and then you could just fucking blast them with this chemicals, kill all the other weeds and shit around it, but you've already modified the corn so it doesn't die.
Right.
So now it's easy to take care of and grow, and so you can grow lots of food. But now you've got this glyphosate residue that's on the corn or whatever, and it's not poisonous. It won't kill you. You could have it, and you'd probably be okay. But we now know that glyphosates also fundamentally affect gut flora. So if you have it once or twice, not a big deal. But most of you who are don't eat organic, you're probably having some type of glyphosate residue every single day. Might not do nothing, you know, over 5 years, 10 years, but 20, 30, 40 years, it might cause a problem.
And the guy who created it won't drink it.
Yeah, drink that shit.
Right. Drink it.
So
prove it.
So I think what some might argue with you, or I think if someone was just being stubborn, and especially if you're somebody who firmly backs, like, if it fits your macros type of person, you know, that, okay, sure, it changes my gut flora. Sure, it's going to evolve my body. But who's to say it doesn't evolve it to be stronger and better, and now it can resist other things? You know,
well, you know, the odds, look, here's the odds. The odds are that I will eventually get old and die. There's also some odds that I might grow and turn into a woman, or I might become a hippopotamus.
Wow.
And the odds of the universe, those are all possibilities. And that's probably one in, you know, how many trillion that some weird shit would happen like that. And it's extremely unlikely. The likelihood that you altering your flora in a way that you don't know what the fuck you're doing, you're just doing it, and that how somehow
it makes you better,
it makes you a better person, and you're competing with millions of years of evolution, the sounds odds of that happening
silly.
Are fucking small.
Yeah, it sounds pretty
like
silly.
That's stupid.
A little bit on the arrogant side.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Okay, here's a better analogy. It would be like a tornado going through a junkyard and randomly assembling a car. Like, if we do it a zillion times, that might happen, right? But it's very unlikely. It's very unlikely you're making yourself more awesome by altering your gut flora in a way you don't understand.
Especially when you're taking
a
bunch
of shit.
Oh,
that tornado came in. Oh, my house is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It made me a Ford.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, it's super, super unlikely. So artificial sweeteners, avoid them. Don't use antibacterial soaps. Don't eat lots of processed and packaged foods. Eat organic. And feed your body whole natural foods. The microbiome tends to enjoy those things. Prebiotics, Justin brought up. A prebiotic is something that feeds the flora, internal flora. So starches will feed certain type of flora. Fats will feed other types of flora. Proteins will feed other types of flora. This totally reinforces what we've been saying all along, which is to, undulate or change your calories and change your macros.
Right, and eating balanced is important.
Eating balanced, so
With diversity.
With diversity, so yeah. I tend to eat very low carbohydrate most of the time. But as I've said before, I'll throw in a vegetarian day, a vegan day, which is a higher carbohydrate day. And some of the benefit from that would be a more diversified gut flora. And that's important. You want a flora that's diversified, that has a lot of good, you know, bacteria in there, not just a lot of one or two strains or a few strains. So it feeds, again, right along what we're saying. And eating the same fucking food every single day like bodybuilders do, where it's always the same tilapia, rice, and broccoli 6 times a day because I'm getting ready for a shoot. Well, you're destroying the diversity of your flora. You're populating some strains and unpopulating others because you're not feeding
the
other ones.
So then when some invading bacteria come in, you're only going to have like basically a couple lines of defense, you know, as opposed to having a nice diverse, you know, army in there.
The obvious thing with your immune system is fighting off other viruses and bacteria, not getting sick. That's the obvious one. And we've known that for a long time. But here's the unobvious. Here's the stuff that we weren't familiar with that's becoming more obvious now is it teaches your body, your gut flora, your microbiome, teaches your body and enhances your body's own immune system to not attack itself, to not attack your own body. Mm. So all these chronic diseases that we have no cures for, we have no treatments for. You know, Adam, you talk about psoriasis, right? That's an autoimmune disorder. There's no treatment for it other than depressing your immune system. They'll give you a drug that's similar to what chemotherapy is. Literally, it's way, 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 way safer. But what it does is it depresses your immune system because you're trying to tell your immune system to not be so vigilant. Well, that's what your microbiome does. And so these are the real problems. I mean, yeah, you might get a cold. You might get more infections. And those are bad as you get older. But
it's the food intolerances. It's the allergies.
Dude, inflammatory disease. Yeah. Heart disease. They just connected your gut flora to heart disease.
Wow.
Yeah. All this stuff. Alzheimer's, dementia.
What a crazy shift.
Fucking
get from
massive.
Cholesterol being so evil, you know, salt and all this stuff being so evil. And they've had to like really just, oh, oops. Yeah. Just kidding, guys.
it's only as good as the information, you know, the science that we're looking at and how the tests are being done. And now we're learning so much. But, pay attention. The next 5 years, 5 to 10 years is going to be this ridiculous ramping up of stuff, because studies now, there's more and more funding now for all this, you know, how to do this. And pharmaceutical companies are like, we need to get on this shit and figure it out, because now there's lots of studies doing. We've talked about fecal transfers, where people who will go in with like Crohn's disease will have a fecal transfer. And that's
it makes me hungry.
That's literally someone else's poo being transferred into my colon to get their microbiome. And then people are getting cured, or you know, their Crohn's goes into remission. I mean,
don't
it's
they
crazy.
Don't they do that somewhere too? Now some women can have their umbilical cord from the baby actually frozen or whatever like that. So later on for the baby, they can come back and test and
that's,
pull from that.
That's the stem cell blood.
Stem cell, stem cell blood.
Yeah, I heard someone doing that, and it's pretty expensive to do that, right?
One of my friends is actually a rep for a company that does that.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've heard good things though, but I mean, I don't know a lot about it.
It's expensive, yeah. I mean, it's long term thinking. If you can sell, like he sells doctors on the idea of it, and then they kind of pass it along to their patients and stuff. But yeah, it's definitely long term thinking. Like, you know, ways to address that, like with stem cells and recreate these cells.
Did either one of you guys consider doing that? Did you guys even know about that?
I did, but the charge of it and everything, I don't know.
It's pretty expensive, right?
Well, it's expensive, and then the likelihood of, you know, being able to use that versus being able to get other stem cells and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It was, yeah.
Well, I can see like further down, obviously technology is going to advance like crazy. So, there's going to be some relevance there, but who's to say they can't just, you know, 3D print, you know, you knew stuff anyway.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. I think the future looks pretty bright with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, and with that, please subscribe to Mind Pump. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. And we hope you have healthy poop.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time. This is Mind Pump.